Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're going to engage in lots of fancy theorizing, speculation, compartmentalization maybe, focusing on UFOs and where do they come from, what are the possibilities. Steve Mera joins us. He's been at it a while. Steve, welcome to the Paracast.
Thank you very much for having me.
I want to ask you one key question before we proceed, which is, what got you involved in talking about this stuff?
Yeah, it's a common question. And I always blame my father for that. Always do.
I blame my father for a lot of things, but not UFOs, because he had no interest.
Yeah, well, I was a young boy, and I think at the age of 12, I was reading my father's UFO books. I think the first one I picked up was Eric von Daniken, and then Inside the Flying Saucer, and a few other ones, and that was it. I was hooked, and I have been ever since. So my work over the years is really trying to push the boundaries and gain some answers, rather than just going around in circles, really, which you can't do for many years within this subject.
Well, I've been going around in circles for like 100 years now. But I have seriously started back in the days of Major Donald Kehoe. Do you remember him?
I do, absolutely, yes. And it was very interesting, his position. I mean, you wouldn't have gained a position like that now, I would have thought, with the people he knew and the contacts he had in regarding government. But at that time, it was very interesting.
Well, part of the problem also with Kehoe is that the way he organized his UFO group, NICAP, is that a lot of people suspected he had intelligence connections, not because he was a Marine Corps, retired Marine Corps major, but because of the fact that he put on his board of governors or directors lots of military people, including a former head of the CIA. And maybe he thought it gave the organization a sense of credibility, but a lot of us out there said, what is this about?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, it's initially you would have thought, yes, that's great, because we might be obtaining some information which isn't normally available to the general public through these sources. Of course, it was a bit of a backfire in the end. But it was very interesting, you know, that he was allowed to have these people talk and communicate to the public. So that was a good thing, I suppose, initially. But then, of course, you've got to consider, you know, is that how often, you know, we get an authentic information from these sources. Could it be disinformation? That's a good way of really getting disinformation into the mainstream.
Well, with Kehoe, a lot of the sightings that the Air Force investigated, he reported on, and he had contacts within the office of Project Blue Book, where he'd call up Al Chop or somebody, and he would get all this information. Of course, I can tell you a little story about that, too. Evidently, he got most of the information verbally. You know, he'd call up and he'd get the information, he'd write it down, and he'd write his books like almost like they were mystery fiction novels, with his recreated dialogue and everything, because he did write fiction, and this is the spirit he brought to his books. And then a young guy, a Princeton dropout, you might have heard of by the name of James W. Mosley, went on a voyage around the country. He was one of these trust fund babies. He didn't need to earn a living. He went around the country and he interviewed people. And then he went to the headquarters of Project Blue Book. They gave him a spare typewriter. And he sat down and wrote down cases. When Kehoe learned that he not just talked to Project Blue Book, but went in there and copied the cases, when he was getting them verbally, he blew a fit. So basically, Jim Mosley and Major Donald Kehoe didn't get along.
Yes. It's a shame, actually, because a lot of the critical information we should have really gone back to regarding the days of Project Blue Book, the Project Blue Book officers. I mean, there's a lot of the stage events took place when they were ringing the press to say, we're going out to say, meet Mrs. Brown, who saw a UFO yesterday, and we're going to be there at 3 o'clock. And so the cameramen and reporters were there to see the Blue Book officers do such a good job. But actually, you go through those reports. I mean, I've got all, every single one of them. Some of them are so poor. I mean, I just think to myself, they did really want to obtain critical data here, because there were some of the ways these are filled out are terrible. And there were incidents when some of the people who had these experiences also had paranormal incidents take place in association to the UFO encounter, and those were dropped. It was like, well, Mrs. Brown, you know, stay away from the ghosty stuff, we just want to stick to the facts about the UFO. I think we missed out an opportunity back then, and it's an opportunity we've come back round now and starting to recognise the paranormal associations with some of this phenomena.
Well, when you say Mrs. Brown, I think of the lyrics of the song Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter. From Peter Noon, Herman's Hermits. Anyway, this has always been an issue here with UFOs, that it seems to go beyond just the flying saucers, and other aspects are in there, but people like Major Keogh wouldn't go there. He barely went into UFO abductions, and I gather it was difficult to bring him to accept Barney and Betty Hill.
Well, I can understand that. At the time of Betty and Barney's Hill case in 61, it was unheard of. You know, they were very probably reluctant to come forward in the first place. And I don't blame them, so, to be honest with you, considering the situation then. But it's certainly more common nowadays, especially throughout the 80s, 90s it was. And there's been obviously some lull in the abduction phenomena as far as I'm concerned, but it hasn't stopped completely. It's still continuing to this date. But it's a whole new aspect to ufology, which people really didn't initially grab. And unfortunately, was missed out on. There was probably many incidents that people had, but they were overseen by just people's sightings, which seems to have been the most significant thing initially. People's sightings, reports of those, ascertaining if they were a threat or not. Sometimes these were military encounters. But obviously now we're looking at a multitude of subjects within the ufology, which might point a way in regards to trying to find some conclusive information.
Going back to your background, because we're kind of summarizing stuff ahead of ourselves here, what kind of work did you do before you got involved in UFOs, and are UFOs your day job or what?
I'm a psychologist and a parapsychology specialist in the paranormal. I did that for many, many years, up to advanced levels and scientific experiments. And I also had an interest in ufology from being very young, as I said. So I pretty much learned, as far as I'm concerned, exhausted the subject of ufology to the point where it became frustrating that there was no real information to point as to what is really going on. There was just countless photographs and videos and recounts of sightings, which really was just a stone adding to the mountain we already had. But I started to look into, some years back, the paranormal attributes, or what I might refer to as paranormal, or the paranormal mechanics of UFO phenomena and its association. And there we realized very quickly that they were associated. And what is really interesting about that is it had been overlooked by many, many years of what I might refer to as compartmentalization. I don't know if that's happened by accident or if it was done purposely right back at the beginning, because, you know, the UFO guys wouldn't deal with the paranormal guys, and the paranormal guys wouldn't deal with the UFO guys, and we were trying to gather as much information pertaining to the subjects of UFOs and trying to find some conclusive information there, when the real information wasn't even lying in the subjects of ufology. It was lying elsewhere in parapsychology, paranormal, supernatural, spiritual, call it what you will.
Let's break here, sir.
Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah.
and Tim and Gene, a lot more to come, all about UFOs and the paranormal. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Really interesting to hear about that. I think part of the reason that people in the UFO field didn't look at the paranormal in general was a matter of being politically correct. I mean, UFOs were sensational enough. You want to bring in Bigfoot, you want to bring in, what, poltergeists, you bring that stuff in, it becomes more elaborate and maybe too outlandish for a lot of people. Don't you think that was one key reason why the two worlds didn't intersect?
I think right from an early start, I think the subject of ufology on, should we say, when dealing with the military and operations and scientific work they were carrying out, I think they learned early on that it had a side connection. And we've had references like this heard before, you know, and when people have asked, you know, what do we know about the UFO subjects? And we get responses such as, well, how much do you know about PSI phenomena? You know, so it's, yeah, I don't think it's something new. I think it's been, they've learned that many, many years ago. But there's not been any attempt to sort of break these walls down, these compartmentalizations, and look at the subject as a whole. Because when you do, you start to gain a bit of a better picture of what's actually going on here, and some of the mechanics involved. Because if we're dealing with an extraterrestrial source, we think, okay, initially, it's something coming from another planet. And why is there something from another planet, which is completely alien to our world, have attributes of an age-old phenomena, earthly phenomena known as the paranormal? We wouldn't think so. But in fact, it does. In fact, the more you actually dig into that, you find that they're very, very similar. It's not the same, but it's just how it's perceived and experienced by the phenomena, how it changes its appearance and interacts with humankind. That gives us these categories, UFOs, paranormal, cryptids, etc.
Part of also here of the current study in the U.S., the AARO, is looking for so-called human effects.
Yes, I'm very aware of AARO. I'm a member of the Scientific Coalition of UAP Studies and quite aware of some of the inner works that's going on and studies, some of which have been going on for quite some time and we've been completely unaware of. But we are pressing forward because we're opening new areas of research. And because we can go down that road now and look at these other areas of research, we can say, okay, this could be the missing part to this UFO mystery that we've been kind of bypassing and not quite understanding, because the attributes would search and search for within that subject, and it didn't lie in that subject. It lies in another subject. And when you bring them two together, they fit very comfortably.
Let's do some fitting. What fits very comfortably?
Okay, here's a typical example. During a poltergeist infestation, many of our listeners would have heard about the apportation, especially during the poltergeist disturbances, where objects disappear and seemingly materialize out of thin air in other unusual places, actually, or places where they're bound to be found. When this incident took place, this particular incident took place, it was of an apported mug, a coffee mug. But luckily for us, the owner had three other identical mugs bought in a pack of four round about Christmas time, which is 3 months prior to the incident. So we were able to take the apported mug away and also a standard, a sample mug away. Now, they look the same, they feel the same. It's absolutely, really, can't tell any difference between them until you put them under microscopy, atomic microscopy. And when you look at the apported mug, in fact, if the computer system was to come up and say, had a levelling system such as, how authentic is it to the original mug, the computer would probably say, it isn't the real mug, it isn't the same mug at left that appeared back, because the profound diathermic reactions in this mug was very unusual, and we hadn't seen this before at that time. However, when I managed to get hold of some scientific papers on plant traumatology experiments, this is plants which have been damaged by the manifestation of a UFO close to ground, and it's affected the plants, the plant growth. Those samples were taken away of the plants and analysed, and the biological traumatology tests on them showed the very same diathermic reaction. So is the appearance and sudden manifestation of a UFO and the sudden manifestation of a mug in the paranormal sense utilising the same physics here? This could be one of those connections.
Tim, you want to jump in?
Well, Steve, I know that you've spent years researching and going to locations of poltergeist outbreaks. Have you run into any cases where there seemed to be also a UFO connection as well. I know, let's see, I know you've investigated like the Bothell Hill House, and I'm not going to pronounce it, was it the Rochdale incidents and places like that. So any connections that you know of that may have also involved UFOs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't even in our reports initially to even ask those questions, but nowadays we ask those questions, and it's surprisingly high, statistically, people who have paranormal encounters have also had UFO sightings and incidents, encounters, those sort of things. There has been numerous cases I've investigated where the incidents were initiated by UFO sighting, only for the family to go on to have poltergeist phenomenon for the very first time manifest in their home the day after for a short duration of time. There has been people that have reported apparitions, but apparitions are small grey-like entities, but they look more like apparitional, you know, more like you can actually see through them. There's been numerous cases where those two have come together. Sometimes a UFO is the initiator for paranormal phenomena that tracks the family back home. It's very interesting, but when we actually do those studies and statistics, there's a remarkable amount of people that have had those type of experiences where they've also had paranormal incidences prior to the UFO incident, or they've had a UFO incident, which is quite significant, prior to reporting paranormal phenomena over long durations of time.
Interesting that the original participant in the Pentagon's UFO study, Bob Bigelow, one and only, his organization was very much involved in investigating the human effects you talk about, such as poltergeist phenomena very shortly after a UFO sighting occurs.
Absolutely. I mean, I know Bob quite well, and I think more recently he will explain now he's slowly starting to come out and talk about some of those experiments we've conducted. The problem with this phenomena is it does have a sting in its tail. And when you push a little bit too much, you end up with this hitchhiker type of effect where it entwines, it gets under your skin, and it entwines into your life. And when that happens, it's usually firstly identified as multiple serendipities, the most mysterious, profound coincidences, immense series of bad luck and just terrible things happening with people. And it didn't just happen to Bob, it happened to a number of the NIDS scientists as well.
Steve Mera, joining us, we're looking at a wide range of the strange and unknown out there with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
USA News Update. A shooting at a shopping mall in Allen, Texas has left 9 people dead, including the gunman. The shooting took place Saturday afternoon at a mall some 30 miles north of Dallas. Three people remain in critical condition. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is sending quick response teams to the southern border ahead of an expected surge in illegal crossings as Title 42 expires Thursday. President Biden is emphasizing the debt ceiling and the budget are two separate issues. Republicans have said they'll raise the ceiling if the president agrees to their budget. Biden dismissed the GOP budget as ridiculous, but he told MSNBC he's still willing to negotiate. King Charles III and Queen Camilla have greeted a massive crowd outside Buckingham Palace following his coronation. This is Karen Sloan, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
It's interesting the collection of people who were involved in NIDS. Even Jacques Vallée was for a time working with them. I'd love to get Bigelow on this show. I just don't think he makes that kind of appearance. I know when he was on 60 Minutes, and he said he believed at that time we were being visited by E.T. That didn't go over too well.
Yeah, it's a little bit more than that. It's just visited by E.T. Well, it depends on what we mean by E.T., extraterrestrial. I mean, obviously, okay, not coming from terrestrial planet Earth, but all the evidence that supports the UFO phenomenon, which tracks back thousands upon thousands of years, and there's enough evidence to support that now, that we're dealing with very much with a terrestrial phenomena, but not in a terrestrial sense we understand. I mean, we could be dealing with something where there's a multiple reality, a paranormal aspect to it, of course, but a parallel a reality where they jump in and jump out. And when we say extraterrestrial, a lot of people think, oh, well, they're traveling the vast distances of space and they're coming from over the planet. I don't think there's enough evidence for that, to be honest with you. There's certainly evidence of in our neighborhood that they may be and has been over long periods of time something going on, that, which obviously has to be extraterrestrial in some sort. I think we're really more pushing towards the interdimensional theory, or extraterrestrial interdimensional beings, which seems to be the most common thing. But you know what? The first time extraterrestrials were contacted, or they were ever seen, or reported, was around the seance table. That tells us a lot.
Elaborate on that. That is a fascinating subject, and you mentioned that in your lecture.
Absolutely. I mean, well, there was a very famous experiment tour being conducted in the UK around about 1998 with its pinnacle time was known as the Skull Experiment, which was a small town in Norfolk, and the communications with what was referred to as spirit, in quotations, because we don't really know what these intelligences are, unfortunately, but it got to the point where there was communication with a source that communicated where its locations were and its intent, and they were not terrestrial, they were non-human terrestrials, and even images of them were caught. Now, that happened around the Skull Experiments, which is seances. It's happened before. It happened to Aleister Crowley in the early, 1902 or 1908. I mean, he got into a certain type of meditation and occultism. It's a little bit more Egyptian side, has strong links to the phenomena. And what manifested was a small being. It claimed it to be interdimensional being. They referred to it as Lam or Aswa. And he had this experience, and it scared him, to be honest. I think it was the first time he'd ever really been a bit, you know, concerned as to what he had actually tapped into here. I mean, we know about the German Metaphysical Society, which became the Vril Society. They did exactly the same thing in Germany, which communicating with these entities which were relaying information pertaining to some advanced technologies. Never gave them the full picture, of course, because they never do, only little bits. And even the 1970s, even Boeing had secret seance meetings to obtain information in regarding technology that might be beneficial to aviation, advanced aviation.
The Skull Experiments are really interesting because of the film that they would produce that had images that were very similar to, oh, no, I can't think of her name, the woman from, gosh, was she, Pennsylvania, New York, Dorothy, you know.
Yeah, there was Dorothy, and there's also Stella Lansing. She did
Stella Lansing, that's what I was both thinking of. Thank you.
Yeah. They both did the same thing with I think it was 8mm cameras, these old little cine film cameras, and it was amazing because the scientists looked at that, and the phenomena was on the actual caption on the film crossed over the frame. You could actually see it between the two frames. It was very, very interesting. But they had what I would say now, which is most commonly known, is that observer effect, that conscious connection with the phenomena. Suddenly they'd be sat watching television, and then suddenly you jump up and know that they've got to grab the camera and go outside, and then they would capture things. And this happened not only for Stella Lansing, but for Dorothy as well. And we have that even on the modern day now. That got overlooked at the time, going back though many years, but now it's quite prevalent that, you know, there is a conscious connection between the phenomena and the observer. Yes, it was. And there's a lot of information that hasn't come out about Skull. I mean, for instance, why did they come to a stop, sudden stop? Well, they had to, because the entities, which were presumably non-human, overtook the whole thing. I mean, it just lost control. And you've got to maintain control. The main thing is keeping that control during a seance. And if you lose control of it, then that's it. You have to shut it down. But Robin Froy, who unfortunately ran, he was ahead of the Skull Experiment, who's passed away now, unfortunately. But myself and him had many conversations, and he used to say, kind of off record, you know, they never left him. They became part of his life, these non-human entities, even without, you know, in everyday life. Like it can affect so many people. So there's kind of a point where you have to learn when to retract, and that point was to shut down the actual whole experiment because of that.
And we've seen this before, though, time and time again, with these kinds of situations, not only dealing with paranormal entities, but people who get way too involved in their UFO sightings. It becomes an obsession. A possession, a little of both.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because you actually are right. It's no different than people fascinated with the paranormal, and they push and push and push. Now, when you open that door just a little bit, and you are, if you're lucky enough to be able to open the door a little bit, and it takes a long time, it takes a certain type of people, and
when you do manage to do that, it's about sustainability usually at that time. It's about keeping that door open and allowing communication to the point where you can ask questions and gain answers with the source. We know we don't say the source because we don't know if the information that comes from them is legitimate or authentic. It's true. Because we know through experiments, in parapsychological experiments, that we've had the opportunity to ask questions, and we asked 10 questions, and just prior to asking the 10 questions, we were delivered the 10 answers. We hadn't even asked them. So they obviously obtain information from us. So when somebody goes to see somebody and they're in communication with something, that information could be coming from us. It could be utilized from us and given back to us in the sense of this what makes it authentic. We think, oh, well, there's only me knows this, so therefore it must be this or it must be that. But that's not the case. Now we have to throw the ball right out there and say, well, you know what, there's no evidence of that. We can't say for sure that's authentic. And we do know on many occasions they're very deceptive, just as they are, just as a UFO phenomenon can be.
It's some interesting points, because poltergeist phenomena tends to always be one step ahead of you. You have your cameras out ready to go, and everything happens behind you. Yeah. Same thing with the UFO phenomena. The UFOs will appear 3 nights in a row. As soon as you bring other people with their cameras, it doesn't show up.
Exactly. We have to build, what we've managed to do is build an association to the point where we request, can we take a photograph? You know, can we do that? And sometimes they'll allow us to. Most of the times they won't. Most of the times they won't even, it's as if they're already sat in the sky and you can't see them. And as soon as you put your camera in the trunk, wait, presto, they appear, you know, as if by magic.
Before we get into more magic and why ET or whatever is involved, whatever we're dealing with, seems to know when you put your camera in the trunk. That'd be a nice skill, wouldn't it? This way you don't have to be photographed. I don't like being photographed. Steve Mera, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Steve, that's the same thing, of course, when they try to photograph an abduction. Something always goes wrong with the camera.
Usually, or it's out of sight, yeah. It's always this deceptive nature of the phenomena. It's derivative within the paranormal, even cryptids. It's derivative within the cryptid phenomena as well. And ufology, the more you actually look into these subjects, the more relation you find between these different aspects coming together. So therefore, what we've done is we've kind of just look at it as a whole, as phenomenology, should we say. But we are finding that the paranormal mechanics fits very well into the UFO phenomena, especially regarding perception and cognition, how manipulated the humans can be in regarding what we see and what we feel. I mean, we've had people who have reported, I was escorted through the wall to a light that was outside my window by my father and my brother. Both had passed away, of course, holding each arm. If it wasn't for the light in the sky, you could say, okay, they've had a paranormal experience, because people claim to see their apparitions of people, you know, the family that have been lost or passed away. But we do get reports of like that. So, and the same thing when it comes to the paralysis phenomena. You know, we get the paralysis phenomena when apparitions are seen in bedrooms. We get paralysis phenomena when it's UFO orientated as a light, or these beings in the bedroom. You know, the more you go through this, you have this tick sheet. You start ticking and ticking and ticking and ticking. And you start to realize, well, hang on a second. You know, there's more associated between this phenomenon than we'd ever really imagined to begin with.
Now, I know that you've been working in this field for quite a while. What do you think first led you to start to look into the idea that there could be a connection with, you know, these paranormal poltergeist hauntings and things like that, and the UFO phenomena? Because as you and Gene discussed in the early segments of this program, a lot of researchers have done the best that they could to try to keep them separate. The ghost stuff, that's crazy stuff. But UFOs, now, you know, that's serious science. You know, what was the light over your head that made you think, hey, wait a minute, maybe there is something going on here with both of these?
Well, actually, Tim, it was a statistical analysis. It was only when we really started delving into, going back to witnesses and really delving into their lives, their lifestyles, their experiences, we started to realize there was a very strong connection between these individuals and the paranormal and UFOs. Now, if we're dealing, like I mentioned, if we're dealing with an extraterrestrial source, why should it be so commonly associated with an old earthly phenomenon known as the paranormal? And you think that they would be completely different in some sense, but it isn't. And the more you actually look at it, you start to find out there are so many similarities. And when I got down that path, and I had that day when I had that light bulb moment, should we say, I started to treat the ufological stuff as more as the paranormal, an aspect of the paranormal, and things started to fit very, very well. And I was very surprised because I didn't think that would be. We also found that UFOs have a much more geological and geophysical association than the skies. I mean, when we say UFO, we always kind of look up. But in fact, very much more associated to the geology and the geophysics of planet Earth, especially in certain locations.
How so?
Well, and our experiments took us into... What we did is we took out a couple of hundred most significant UFO incidents reported around planet Earth, and we cross-referenced those locations with satellite data from two different satellites orbiting Earth in regarding mapping of gravitational anomalies and magnetic anomalies. And we found that almost all 200 lied within a positive magnetic region of over 200 nanotesla. And we thought, well, that can't be by chance. It just cannot be. We broadened that search to about 2,000 now. And there's a definite, absolute definite association. And that is when I got to find out that through people who I talked to, that the military, the US military were pretty much aware of this back in 1982. In fact, Colonel Corso, I think, made reference of it in the early 80s, that there was an association between these magnetic anomalies, and that there had been numerous research done by the US government in regarding its association with this phenomenon, where it manifests. Because we have a lot of people where we see, okay, The tracking a UFO through the sky, they've seen a UFO. It's going from point A to point B. But where did it arrive and where did it disappear? You know, because the traffic, we don't have a superhighway of traffic, by the way, traveling backwards and forwards to Earth, you know, be easily identifiable through ionospheric detection. We do have a few little bits, which are unusual to say, but if you talk to the SETI scientists, they'll say, well, it's quite unusual, actually, because space is rather quiet, and we don't have, for as far as we're concerned, a superhighway of UFOs travelling backwards and forwards to Earth. Now, considering the latest surveys carried out of how many UFOs seen on a daily basis around the world, now, you know, we have to be conservative, not all countries are giving that data out, but there's a multitude of so many, masses of thousands, which are seen all around the world. So there might be, you know, misidentifications, of course, and some of them might just be hoaxes, but, you know, even so, there were so many that we would expect to see a superhighway of traffic, and we're not. So where are they coming from is the big question. And that question leads us into the manifestation areas, the materialization areas. And these are usually quite well away from human beings, because they don't seem to like to have key locations where they're manifesting around open cities. They seem to be out in the deserts and the mountains, and just basically away from us humans.
What about, haunted houses and things like that? I mean, do they fall within kind of like the same types of groupings?
Well, from the haunting phenomena, it's for geological, geophysical phenomena associated to the ground, to the location. If you build a house on it, it becomes a haunted location. The house becomes haunted if you build it on a haunted area, and so on and so forth. So we're also dealing with a geophysical, geological phenomena when it comes to the haunting. And it has, there's obviously two different types. It's your interactive or intelligent type hauntings, which seem to interact with the people in that environment. but they interact in a very peculiar way, which is the same things that have been reported at Skinwalker Ranch, Wilson Ranch, and numerous other ones, because Bigelow at one time owned three ranches as well as the Skinwalker Ranch. And on the other side is like a recorded phenomenon, like a stone tape phenomenon. It's like an incidents get somehow drawn into and recorded, captured by the environment, only to play them back at random times. Usually are all associated with heightened emotion, be it negative or positive. So that's kind of split two ways. But again, we're dealing with the geological and geophysical aspects to the haunting phenomena.
I often tell people, if they're interested in looking for UFOs, if there's not, say, a flap going on in the area at the time, I'll often tell them, if there's one close by, try to find some kind of ancient earthwork or, standing stones or things like that. And, not so many here in the United States, we do have, our mound burials and places like that, because you'll probably find more reported incidents around these areas than if you were just to go, just any random place and stand out in the dark looking.
You're absolutely spot on, Tim. You're absolutely right. I mean, our research tells us the same thing. That when we get a lot of UFOs, when they are shining light, pencil beam lights to the ground, it's done with purpose, and they're measuring something geophysically on the planet there. Now, when you start to look and overlay with digital maps of where these incidents take place, you'll find that there are very strong magnetic lays, and there are numerous ancient sites, and of course our ancestors were certainly more attuned than we were, and they knew exactly where to build them. They also knew where to build certain temples which would allow them to have some form of communication with these entities. It's like an ancient seance locations, really, resident chambers and so on and so forth. And we've done numerous experiments like that.
It sounds to me, Steve, as if ancients had more skills than we do. And then we have to maybe relearn a few things, perhaps. We're going to continue with Steve and Tim and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.